Welcome to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast, a podcast where we talk about wine, life, and everything in between. My name is Anshu, and I'm your host, and I'm so thrilled that you've decided to join me today. Thank you for doing so. Welcome to episode 17 of the podcast. I've been away from podcasting for a couple of weeks now. I went on a much-needed family vacation, had the best time ever, and I decided to unplug. We actually went out west in Canada. We had to be in Calgary for a wedding, a family wedding, and we had not taken a summer vacation, so we decided what we would do was actually extend our time in Alberta by a few days and actually head out to Banff, Lake Louise, and Jasper and some of the surrounding areas and just, you know, spend some time out in nature as a family. Now, my husband and I have been to Banff before several years ago, but our children had not been, and we thought they were of the age now, 12 and almost 12, I should say, and 9, that they would enjoy such an excursion. So we decided to, you know, take a couple days and head out that way. And we had a fabulous time, just very natural, you know, I'd say rushed, to be honest. We didn't actually give ourselves enough time, but that notwithstanding, it's just so great to be out in nature and to be spending time together as a family, doing things like hiking and, you know, breathing fresh air and learning about our beautiful country. I will say that my children possibly are still a little too young for a week that's all about hiking, at least my children. I'm sure there's other children out there that would love that. But they, you know, they struggled a little. I'd say they were a little tired. There were some early mornings getting up to go out on buses to see sunrises and stuff like that. But other than that, I'd say they had a great time. And there were some wonderful wine experiences along the way. So I plan to do a podcast episode just focused on that strip of an itinerary. If anybody's interested in doing that, it is certainly on many people's bucket lists to go see Banff, Lake Louise, and Jasper. And I found some great spots where the wine and food was incredible. So I'll come back and do that as a later episode. But for today, I wanted to actually return back to looking at the basics of wine tasting. So in episode 16, we talked a little bit about aromas in wine and how aromas in wine will influence what you, you know, taste and what you experience. And I kept it pretty rudimentary. So this episode is also going to be really about the basics. This is for not only people who are new to wine, but, you know, if you're studying, it's a good refresher. If you have studied wine formally at some point, it's also a good refresher, as much so as if you're actually in wine studies right now. So let's talk a little bit about appearance when it comes to the art of wine tasting. Appearance is actually a very important element of tasting your wine. Not only will appearance tell you very obviously if a wine is white or red, that's a very obvious outcome of looking at a wine, but it can also give you really good indications as to potentially what that wine is going to taste like, whether it's going to be a, you know, very sparkling wine or a lightly sparkling wine, what we would call a petulant wine, and sometimes even the age of the wine. So let's break it down. First of all, you know, when you go somewhere and you are enjoying a glass of wine, I would highly encourage you to give the wine a little bit of a swirl to open it up, but then also place the glass against a clear background. And generally, what I mean by clear is something that doesn't have any color to it. So usually we would say a white sheet of paper is great, but if you can, you know, lay it up against a counter that's not darkly colored, something that's lighter in color, doesn't have background on it or writing. If there's writing, that's fine. But, you know, usually a blank sheet of white paper is ideal. Of course, if you're at someone's house, you're not necessarily going to be able to do that, but you can lay your glass at a 45 degree angle and look at it against, say, the floor, if the floor is not heavily patterned and a little lighter in color, or hold it up. I do see people hold it up in the air and sort of let the light hit it and look at it that way too. So those are your options. As I mentioned, you want to lay your glass at about a 45 degree angle and have a look at the color. Now, obviously, and I should say the appearance as well. So broadly speaking, the appearance, of which color is only one aspect. So to get back to the obvious point, you'll very quickly be able to pick up on whether the wine is white, red, or pink, and sometimes even orange if you're having an orange wine. Beyond that, what else are you looking for? So look for depth of color. How deep is that color exactly? Is it pale and sort of watery? Can you see right through it? If you, you know, have a sheet of paper that's got some writing on it, can you read the writing through the color of the wine? That's something we would describe as pale. Or is it a little bit deeper in color? all the way through to, is it opaque in color? So I'd say it's almost a three-step grade. Again, if we're keeping things simple, color can be pale, it can be medium, or it can be very dark all the way through to, you know, practically opaque. And the reason this is helpful is that color is often indicative of two things. One, it can give you a sense of the grapes that are in the wine. Are you going to be, you know, tasting a wine that's got deeply colored grapes in it? Or is it a wine that's actually a little bit more approachable, a little lighter in style? Those paler colored wines tend to be the latter. So they tend to be made with grapes that are lighter in style and made in a wine style that's lighter. So they may not have seen oak, or they may be made with grapes that are not heavily tannic, or they may not be as high in alcohol, those wines. The other thing that the color of the wine can really give you an indication of is the age of the wine. So when you are looking at a white wine, and particularly if you know what you're about to drink, if it's starting to go from, you know, a pale yellow or golden color into more of an amber or bronze color, that's an aged wine. Similarly, with red wines, if you're starting to get some what we call bricking, some orange around the edge of the wine or even the wine itself, where it's starting to look, you know, more of instead of like a ruby red, it's becoming more sort of orangey and flecked, then that is what we would consider to be an aged wine. That's a good indicator that that wine has seen some age. So that's what color can tell you. The next thing that you can look for is, what does the rim of the wine look like? And this is, again, indicative of age. So by rim, I mean the very outside edge of the liquid. The center is often going to be one color. And sometimes if a wine is older, the outside of the wine, particularly with red wines, that outer rim of the liquid will actually start to change in color. It becomes paler. Sometimes it can take on a clear sort of look. We call that the meniscus. And as that becomes paler and a different color, that's telling you that that wine has aged. That color is deeper in the center and not so deep on the outside. So there's another indicator for you from appearance. The next thing you can look for is the appearance of any bubbles. So if there are obvious bubbles and mousse, then obviously you're having a sparkling wine. You probably already know that. But something that some people don't really always know is that there can be slight effervescence or petulance in wines where you may not expect it. So if you look for a little bit of bubbling in the wine, that can tell you that there's going to be a little bit of a fizzy quality to the wine, particularly in white wines. It can also tell you that the wine's faulted, because there's some wines where that just shouldn't be the case. So if you see a wine that's got some bubbles, I mean, that might just be some air built up in the bottle, or it might give you a sense that if I'm going to try this wine, it might not be as good as I'm expecting it to be, particularly if it's an older wine. The next thing you can look for is the wine clear or cloudy? A cloudy wine, you know, that might be an unfined or unfiltered wine. So it could be purposely cloudy, but generally we don't want our wines to be cloudy. We want them to be clear and you know, quite beautiful in the glass, sort of glinting almost. So, you know, the appearance of a cloudy, sort of filmy look in the glass could tell you a couple things. I mean, you can get a filmy quality to your wine if your glass is in fact not clean and there's some soap residue in the glass, but also if the wine is unfiltered or unfined, or if it's faulted in some way. Another thing to look for in terms of the appearance of the wine, so when you give the wine a swirl, is what we call the legs of the wine. Is the wine actually sticking to the sides of the glass? Now, if that's happening, that can indicate that the wine is high in body or high in alcohol, and that will give you a sense of, you know, how strong that wine is going to be. Also, when you swirl the wine, particularly with red wines, sometimes the wine will seem to sort of stain the glass. It's obviously not literally staining the glass. It's just kind of leaving some color residue on the side of the glass. And that is an indication of a deeply colored, perhaps even a deeply tannic wine and grape. Now, if you move on to trying to blind taste, where, you know, someone pours you a wine, you try to guess what it is, some of the aspects of appearance become a lot more important. And, you know, people will spend lots of time looking carefully at things like color and the legs or tiers of the wine, you know, whether it's staining the side of the glass, because it can really give you a sense of the grape that's been used. But if you're casually drinking wine in a social setting, or even just starting to learn about wine, appearance to me is not the most important thing to focus on. It does give you, as I mentioned, a really good indicator of potential age of the wine, But beyond that, and you know, to some extent, it'll give you a sense of, you know, what the alcohol level is going to be and how deep or rich the wine is going to be. But beyond that, I don't think that it's something that you should spend tons and tons of time looking at, particularly if you're in a social setting. You know, it could look a little bit unusual or even perhaps a bit snobby to be, you know, tilting your glass and staring at it for minutes on end, you know, posturing about what the color of the wine is and what that might tell you about it. So that's probably not the main place you want to start. I think aromas and flavors are a better place to be focusing on if you're more of a casual wine drinker or you're in a casual environment. But nonetheless, I do think appearance can be a really great aspect of the wine tasting experience. And it's one that people who want to get better at wine tasting should learn a little bit more about. Now, just a reminder, I will include my own personal wine tasting note in the show notes. So you can click on that and download a copy if you want to get a little bit better at tasting wines and practicing. And I'll also link to the WSET wine tasting framework, which is what I've been trained on since I am a student of the WSET program. And all these resources were also available in episode 16. My apologies if you're hearing some background noise. My neighbor is, in fact, having some work done in their backyard, so you might be picking up on some drilling, but we're almost at the end of the episode. I just want to encourage you to also go back and listen to episode 16 if you haven't already, because that's the episode that I kicked off the wine tasting basics with, where we really looked at the impact and the way to detect aromas in a wine. And I think that is a wonderful starting point for anybody who is starting their journey or, as I said, studying wine. And I would really encourage you to have a listen to that episode because there's some really great information in there. And with that, I will sign off for the day. I wish you a wonderful day. Thank you for spending some time with me. I hope you found this episode to be useful. I hope the drilling in the background wasn't too annoying. And as always, I'd encourage you to give me a shout. Let me know what you think of the episode or if you have anything else you want to learn about. I'm always curious and want to give you the content that you want to hear. And with that, I'll wish you a wonderful day filled with lots of peace, love, and light, and of course, lots of good wine. And until we meet again, cheers. Thank you for listening to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast. I hope you're enjoying the podcast thus far. Be sure to hit subscribe to be notified of future episodes or leave a review to let me know what you think. Take care.